I want to jump sequences. I want to talk about something that I'm really passionate about observing. So, people can come out of Western society and live in nature, but still be super on the other end of the spectrum as indigenous. Mm-hmm. So, like, people can go and get land and, you know, like, live in nature, but there's still that cutting off from the ecology, or like lack of, there's still that lack of, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, lack of connection.
You know, like in my piece of land, isolated in my concrete house, isolated, and it still lacks certain qualities and like facets that... Mm-hmm. That is what it means in my perception to be indigenous.
Like, even if the step is in the direction of, say, drinking from the water available, you know, say there's a spring like there is here. Okay, I'm drinking the water from the land. Perhaps there are some herbs, you know, in the garden planted that I can, you know, pick from. Starting there at like the basic essentials for life, food, water, you know, shelter, these kinds of things. Are those things coming from the ecology? Because what that speaks to is a reliance on, or a dependence, or an interrelationship with that ecology that you find, that one finds oneself in.
Yeah.
You know, if those basic needs are not arising from the space, that doesn't necessarily mean I am responsible. Not every single person on earth will be responsible for, say, growing that food directly.
Yeah.
But perhaps the neighbor over there is growing the food, and I'm, you know, cooking it.
Yeah.
Let's say, and yeah, we've got that relationship. Yeah. That's a whole different framework than, you know, living in nature but still driving a car to town to go get food.
Yeah.
And all of this, you know. And I'm saying this from the perspective of having the intention to move into something more indigenous.
Correct. And I want to introduce, like, I don't think that becoming fully indigenous and cutting off, you know, anything, any benefits of the Western civilization, but whatever the community or way of living is, it must have that piece and like facet fully. And then you can also have comforts and things of the West, but it's gonna have, and I'm using the word indigenous a lot, but I like to distinguish, like, what, yeah, for example, I don't perceive the future as like fully going and like living fully in bush.
Right.
You know, but
we've gone a little too far for that, right?
Yeah.
Like that ship more or less sailed, unless some wild catastrophe happens, but you know, there are a lot of trappings of the West that can apply directly to living indigenous. Just how we use that.
Yeah.
So that's an important thing to consider, right? Is, I feel a lot of times the conversation can be very polar, that says either, you know, and it's a form of reaction, or a form of resistance or like repulsion.
Yeah.
To say either live in the West
to extreme,
right, or go be a caveman.
Exactly. It needs both.
We need both.
And that's what I think if we look at like a lot of indigenous cultures, they were massacred and eliminated. And I often wonder why. And I know it's a weird thing to like contemplate, but if the indigenous cultures had a bit more of the left brain, commerce parts as well, maybe they wouldn't have been, do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
I feel like historically the indigenous cultures lacked parts of the West, and obviously the West lacks the indigenous part, and
mm-hmm.
I feel we definitely need to be competent in both. However, the Indigenous piece seems really difficult to get.
Yeah.
Seems difficult to live that way.
Yeah. And what I hear in that, a way of kind of approaching it and giving the mind something to chew on, is the balance of masculine and feminine energies, right? Typically, and I've seen this over and over again, typically Indigenous cultures have a very strong reverence for the feminine, or they're matriarchal. And I think this is beautiful. Then you have, you know, take the United States, for example, to be patriotic. The word patriot is patriarch. It's to be in loyalty to the paternal, the patri, the masculine, you know, and it is that very strong, you know, the engineering, the structured approach to life, the mental, the cognitive, the analytical, the penetrating, you know, we're going to go, we're going to conquer this kind of thing. We're going to do. Whereas the, you know, the more feminine principle is more in listening and planting and growing and holding the space and being receptive,
softening
these kinds of things, being in connection, right? Really nurturing and this kind of thing. And so when that pioneering culture, that penetrating culture, meets this, you know, very feminine oriented Indigenous society, I don't want to, this is where it kind of diverges from masculine, feminine, but, you know, there's almost like a receptivity of whatever is coming in the field.
Yes.
If I'm not separate from this field, and all of a sudden there's this, you know, there's these people burning the houses down.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is, you know, equivalent to the termites coming and eating my house alive. What am I going to do?
Meaning, allow it.
Allowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a wild thing, and I'm careful saying that as a white man in the modern time, right? Like, I have sensitivity to the way that things are very unjust.
Yeah.
However, if a tree falls, am I trying to stop it?
Get out of the way.
I get out of the way. There you go. That's, yeah, isn't that the middle ground? Get out of the way of the tree. Don't let it fall right on me. But perhaps that speaks of more of that masculine, you know, just in this framework, that masculine energy of, rather than allowing or receiving whatever that circumstance is, not saying that that's what Indigenous cultures did. I'm sure that they fought back and really, you know, tried to survive and stay alive. However, I agree with you, ultimately, with what you're saying of, like, finding a balance between those energies.
Because
it's not all about just giving way to nature and, you know, denying any form of, like, for example, I was living on an organic farm, really taking responsibility for food, and I got shingles. And I had to go to Western medicine. And as a result of that, I can see, because it attacked my optic nerve and it ravaged my whole face, one whole half of my face. And the doctor guy, he was like, you know, if you don't do this, if you don't go take these medicines, it is very likely that infection will just eat your optic nerve and you won't see out of your left eye again.
Yeah.
I said, good Lord. And guess what? I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I went ahead and did it, right?
Thank God for that.
Yeah. So can you imagine what my life would be like without the intervention of Western medicine and, you know, systemized ways of life? There's something to it.
Yeah.
And you know?
It's like they've been mutually exclusive in the past.
That's it.
And it is.
Mm.
And, like, a big reason why I came here more than 10 years ago was I was interested in that just humanity's, like, not on a good path. Like, it's just bound for collapse. I had this inner memory of, like, this cataclysm, right? Of, the cataclysm, and hearing about things about what happened with Atlantis, and, like, my impression about what happened then is very similar to, like, where we're at now. Is it became way too, it just lacked the Indigenous right brain connection piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we're at that exact same crossroads right now mm-hmm. that must come back.
Yeah.
It must come back.
I'm seeing this, I've never considered this before, but take humans or any animal, basically. There's a male and there's a female, and they're able to give birth to and create another being. First of all, it's fucking amazing. Out of any way that life could be set up, that's wild and cool.
Yeah.
You mentioned mutually exclusive, right?
That one or the other.
Yeah. That it's been typically this left brain, right brain, this masculine, this feminine principle. And I wonder if there's something vital and important to that, actually. For them to develop separately, just like a male and a female develop separately.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need the male and the female, the masculine and feminine, and for them to develop separately, and like you said, basically mutually exclusive up until this point.
Yeah.
Is there something to it for that? If we zoom out and look at the bigger picture of the weaving of that tapestry.
Absolutely. Like I'm like contemplating like what it would take to set up a functional community, right? And it requires different facets, different pieces. So it different roles. So there will be people on the team that lean towards this, if I would call it like right brain, connection, indigenous, softening, receptivity. And that tends to lack the structure, infrastructure, strength, you know, ability to pioneer, ability to penetrate, analytical, like strategic.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see like future communities having all the facets.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are sort of on the more right brain side, they will have had a life of specializing in that. And yeah, I think it's sort of futile to expect them to have the left brain like structure piece
mm-hmm.
as well. Like they stick to their strengths, but it's going to be a team, like a diverse team
mm-hmm.
that needs all the pieces. I don't think a future community can survive just being so heavily on like one aspect. Mm. Yeah, it does need all those facets.
Yeah.
Which, when I look around, people tend to stick in their little modality, their realm, their scene. And I find it really rare that people are putting different pieces together. For example, like the medicine people hang out with the medicine people, the yoga people hang out with the yoga people. Everyone's like hanging out in their own little like pigeonholed, narrow part. And yeah, the future is about putting these pieces together
mm-hmm.
for a sustainable community.
Yeah.
But really specializing and having proper depth of skill and capacity
mm-hmm.
in, you know, my emphasis is on the indigenous and also social harmonic resonance and like warm attuned connection as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like if any of those pieces aren't like fully like the ultimate in that department, it's gonna fall.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I do agree with that specialization thing. Mm-hmm. But then the specialization, they need to be in a diverse team.
And we see that in science right now too, right? Like the engineers hang out with the engineers, yeah, yeah. the physicists are with the physicists, the biologists are over here, yeah. you know, and then you got neuroscience and they're like, fuck you, psychologists. Yeah.
This is the way.
Right, and it's very dogmatic in that, right? And without that specialization, perhaps in the outset, then, and I see like trees, when you observe a forest system beginning, when you observe a forest coming to be for the first time, each tree pops up with a good bit of distance between one another, and then eventually their roots come together. Yeah? And I feel like that is an epic thing that's happening through the specialization of Western culture. You know, we've got the physicists, we've got the yogis, we've got the, you know, the priests and all of these people, right? and the tech billionaires, and they're all popping up in these different ways, but we can perhaps bring all those roots together and find that cohesion, you know. And a lot of native societies, the modern translation of the, like, of the Native Americans is the two-spirit, right? Where you've got the engineers on one side and you've got the, you know, the shamans on the other side, and you've got the two-spirit, or in Hawaiian you call mahu, which is like this beautiful balance of the masculine and feminine. And those tend to be the ones put in leadership positions because they're able to see both sides and interact and play with both sides, but don't lean so heavily to either side, so they can remain balanced. But we still absolutely need all of this here. Yeah, super important.
Nailed it. Yeah. And what I see lacking when I look around is the indigenous piece.
Yeah,
I see that's lacking big time. I see that's deficient. I don't see enough spotlight or, you know, examples or demonstrations. I guess that's because it's difficult. I think a main differentiation between like indigenous and West is like trust, right? Mm. Trust. Like indigenous didn't have like storehouses of money and grain and stuff out of fear, out of lack.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I look around, I notice people find it difficult, and this is the whole, you know, the thing about surrender. I think it's difficult to have that degree of devotion to where the field and the nature and the realm and the ecology is king and is in control. And, you know, people, do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Like
it's
in that trust piece, that trust, you know, trusting in that field, even if it means that that field is giving way to your demise, which is true for every single one of us.
Yeah.
At some point,
you know, like, like I'm pursuing my yoga teacher training because and it comes back to earning a living, right?
Mm, yeah.
And that's the contrast. I need to earn a living. Versus, like, imagine how trusting the indigenous cultures were about everything. And it's the total opposite with this earning a living thing and, like, my career. And
yeah, and I see it. I mean, yoga is a beautiful, a really clear example of, you know, not teaching yoga to empower people, but teaching yoga in such a way that you create a feedback loop of, you know, recurring contributors to your career, you know, rather than like my yoga teacher, something I really appreciate about her, you know, thank you, Stephanie, it's like, we're gonna teach yoga so that people stop coming to your classes, because then you know it's effective.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another side of that where maybe just the class sucks and they stop coming, but like, we're gonna, you know, lead people to carry their own yogic practice.
Yeah,
you know, and that feels like, again, Native American, the giveaway, right? Offering it up. In South America, they call it Aini. It's like the state of being where there's mutual reciprocity. The giving and receiving that happens there, rather than this extractive, I gotta take as much as I can because I was never quite given enough and I'm not sure what the fuck I'm doing here on this earth. And as long as I have a stable, you know, income, and I've got a house, and I've got food and water and shelter, I don't care where it comes from, I'll pay whatever I need to do, but like, I gotta have it, and I'm scared that this whole world is gonna, you know, come in and get me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of fear in all of that, that fear of lack that you're speaking of.
It's really big and deep. And then again, I don't expect people to just drop everything and like live in that way, but it is a big obstacle. It is a big obstacle. And like, I just imagine like a few thousand years ago being an indigenous culture and like your survival depends on how in tune you are and how like trusting you are and how receptive you are. And it's like, yeah, nature always provides if you're in full reverence and devotion and like connection with nature. It's like it always supports its own, but then that's a key distinction, is like, am I in full devotion and connection? And that's where like if even a part of me has that, like, or if that Western mindset has taken over too much, because obviously we need some of it, we can't be stupid, but more often than not it's overtaken too much, to where like I need to earn a living and I need to have savings, and because of fear about if I hit that 0 point, whereas Indigenous cultures lived on that trust point of like no plan B, no backups. And that's where it comes down to like biology and babies as well. Babies don't over plan and like over strategize and like over analyze. It's a natural unfolding, and the next step shows up and appears once, you know, like you can't plan too many steps ahead. And that's where babies are at, and that's how they operate, of like in the moment, taking this step fully, you know, whereas as they get older in the Western world, they probably become a bit too vigilant or like precautious or like doubtful, and that's like a key distinction. And that's where like I am excited about more people, because what we're talking about, you have to live it, meaning you have to have an experience of it to really get more into it. Meaning like I look forward to on the planet where there's more places where people can come and get a sense and experience and like live it, where you can't impose your will, where, you know, you're more merged with the field and you can feel the field and you come a bit more undifferentiated and so that's what I'm like hoping is like in the next 10 years more people can be living this way, and then more people can have a taste of this way of life. Because it's like, no one could have told me this 10 years ago. Like, no one could have told me this, say, like, even 7 years ago. Like, it took me years of observing, being here and observing that I can't impose my will on this realm. Like, I can't. I'll just get smacked and the feedback's too strong. And then over years, I observe that if I can just soften a bit more and trust a bit more, like the support shows up and the next steps show up. And like, I don't need to over plan it and like over, you know what I mean?
As butterflies land on our fingers and toes.
Yeah. So yeah, like yeah.
That's it. It's like living on the edge at the precipice, which I call the present moment, which is like the razor's edge between the past and the future. You know, the present moment, there's nothing, there's almost nothing to hang on to. You know, there's no identification from the past, there's no plan in the future that create these like imaginary training wheels that kind of give us some balance.
Yeah.
Mentally, you know, the babies aren't doing that, like you said.
So where does that, why do we develop that way of being? Like because it wasn't always there. It had to come in due to some experience or environmental happenings.
We learned that the present moment, this is, and you know, one aspect of it perhaps, that we've learned through experience that the present moment was unsafe, that it was, you know, threatening or confronting or created a circumstance that I needed to escape. Yeah. And so in order to escape, I either go to the past or go to the future to avoid the present moment.
And numb myself, sedate myself,
right.
Dissociate,
right.
Distract myself.
Become indifferent as opposed to undifferentiated.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's undifferentiation and then there's indifference.
And that's where I see a key essential component of becoming more indigenous is it does require to have a big emphasis on like embodiment and the body and like trauma and the nervous system, because, and that's why an additional essential component to that is having a social field where I have multiple like warm layers of support and connection.
Uh-huh.
Because babies, if they're distressed, they can't regulate and soothe and return to a felt sense of safety on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They need a warm, attuned, stable caregiver to provide that attunement and understanding and empathy and touch to come out of that feeling threatened state. So that's why a huge emphasis on like future communities has to be this aspect about, yeah, like warm, attuned layers of support. Because what interrupts me, for example, being more in the present and like with myself and like in my body to where I actually can attune to the field and be receptive to the field, is because this body is holding a lot of like scary memories and like unbearable, intolerable feelings that of course I'm going to split off from and get too analytical into the future, and that's too much mental, and that's the West. So that's why it's essential in order to become more indigenous and live in a more indigenous way. It does require that like social co-regulating aspect to where like physiologically, like mammals, we're designed to regulate and feel safe through social relation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but normally, like where I come from and the world and stuff, socializing is quite often fragmenting and like disconnecting, and you know, it's quite rare that when we come together, it's like, at least for myself, it's rare that I leave in a more like deepened, attuned state. I usually leave it like more fragmented and dissociated. Right. So yeah, establishing those norms about how socially we can deepen and like cultivate that attunement to where my body can soften and regulate, and then I can be more in the present moment because my body's more regulated, because I look around and I register safe, warm, attuned people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I feel like you can't really have one without the other. Meaning, yeah, becoming more indigenous and living that way, you know, you need the embodiment and like social co-regulation piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look at the co-regulation, nervous system, trauma world and that domain, they're sort of lacking the earth, living on the land, you know? So it's like all these different parts are split off from each other, but they need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, you know, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So like what I see in my mind, you know, in terms of like this community structure are different. We'll just keep it simple, like different zones. Say you have a village, you know, and I think I've witnessed this a number of times in groups of people living indigenously is there are distinct, you know, sectors of this village or this community where different things happen. And within those different sectors are opportunities to express and develop these different facets of ourselves. And it's not from the place necessarily that we're all supposed to be, you know, masterful wizards of all of these different facets.
Yeah.
But that we're in relationship with all of those different facets. That the physicists talk to the psychologists, talk to the shamans, talk to the yogis, all of this kind of stuff, and we're cross-informing one another.
Exactly.
Not that I have to be all of those things, or that I'm, you know, deficient if I'm more specialized or more attuned to this side of things, but to be in communication and collaboration with those attuned to that side of things, all of a sudden there's a mutual movement.
Exactly. And that's what society is professional at, specialization and what's it called, compartmentalization, and
yep,
this splitting off of, and it's so rare. Like, that's what's so exciting, is like I'm yet to come across or see like examples of this where these various aspects are put together in a field where you know, it's usually either a permaculture farm, or it's a retreat center, or it's a yeah, there's usually facets that are lacking
for sure.
And yeah, that's why I love to like analyze and like define, like, what does it require to become more indigenous? Like, how can we be more indigenous? Because yeah, as I've said before, I notice like living in nature is not enough. It's beyond that. It's more, it has more specificity than just I'm gonna live in nature. Or
some of what I've heard here is like the trust aspect, which I think arises from the undifferentiation with nature. You know, I inherently trust that my organs are processing the drink I just drank because it's part of me, right? And I'm attuned to everything. Feels good, feels like it's functioning as far as I'm concerned. I trust that the organs will work with that accordingly, right?
Mm.
So there's like that trust implicit in the connection, in the undifferentiation with the ecology that we're in,
yeah,
with the environment that we're in, with the people that we're in. So I heard trust, I heard this undifferentiation, connection with nature, really being in tune with the field.
Receptive to the feedback.
Yeah.
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 Being able to sense when the field becomes more dissonant, and being able to sense, for example, like what makes the land happy.
Yeah.
Like when Emil or Sonia are here, they have a natural inclination to like, let's have a fire.
Mm-hmm.
The land will be happy. The social field will be happy. More coherent, more connection, more attuned, more group resonance. Mm-hmm. You know, so
mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, and I hear like the balance between these, like, we can call them masculine, feminine principles, these different energies, the right brain, left brain, ways of relating, allowing for those, that broad spectrum, and allowing for specialization, and really needing various components of those specializations, but in a way that comes together.
Correct.
And is interrelated, as opposed to fragmented or compartmentalized.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess everyone's on their journey and they're having their own unfoldment. But yeah, I see this like implicit motive of like earning a living, having money, and personal power and prestige and image and glamour.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, seeing how that gets in the way, even in a community in nature, those things are still playing out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, so yeah, like how to have a container that doesn't let those things, you know, take things off, take the trajectory off course so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, we're all human. We all have an ego. We all have personal interests that will interrupt the field, I guess. So I'm really interested in like how to have a container to where people's, you know, I guess deficiencies or personal interests, that won't run the show and like disintegrate the field.
Right.
But
still giving space for the reality that those things are there and
exactly.
can and will arise.
Yeah, rather than like try to deny them or
right.
vilify them.
Which is typically what makes them fester.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a whole journey in itself of what does it look like to, you know, hold space for the reality that we're all funky and imperfect and, you know, got our edges and our facets and our strong points and weak points and, you know, vices and scars and traumas and things like that. You know, that's a whole another conversation of what does it look like to really hold space for that in a community structure and allow for a reasonable, balanced expression of those things or presence of those things because they're real, but then also addressing them.
Correct. And that's a big mistake I made, is I teamed up with people that didn't have this intention. So when people have different intentions and want different things that might be conflicting or, you know, competing value systems, it's going to be a disaster. So like, you really need a team of people who care about what we're talking about, quote unquote, becoming more Indigenous. Because if you don't have a core team of people that are devoted to this and are committed to this, then it does become a realm of competing, you know, competing agendas and competing interests. So
yeah.
You really want to identify what people are, where they're at in their life and what they're really wanting. And if people are more wanting a personal career and I want, you know, money and like glamour and Instagram followers and like I'm a this, that and the other and this, you know, if that trumps in their personal intention a community or a, you know what I mean, that's where it can become real challenging.
Yeah.
Like you really need a team of people that are devoted to this. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, lower octave interests take over.
Yeah.
And you can't really crystallize a container that is moving towards becoming more Indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really need that intention from a core team of people.
Yeah. And why do it at all?
Why?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the same boat, right? Like I feel that 100%. I think it's incredibly important. And why?
Why what?
Why move towards living more Indigenous?
Well, for me,
because we're in this particular, you know, time and space, this cultural context, which gives way to this conversation, you know.
I come from a very logical, I guess half of me comes from a very being able to track trends and trajectories, and just from a logical, analytical point of view. Yeah, humanity's not going well, and
what?
Yeah,
really.
So yeah. There's that left brain analytical, like it's just obvious that the current model is, you know, gonna crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
And then from my right brain, like equally, there's this innate craving for connection.
Yeah.
And this whole merging thing, why would I want to merge with a dissonant, fragmented field?
Mm.
No. There's this natural inclination in me to merge with the field and feel how it feels, like a baby deserves to feel in a family with warm, attuned layers of support and an ability and capacity to navigate some conflict and return to connection and, you know, resonance. It's innate in us. It's our biology. This is like a biological imperative and deep developmental need to be in a coherent field. It's pure biology.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I had a traumatic childhood and I just crave to feel how it feels to know that we're all on the same team, working towards the same goal, caring about the same things. It's not me versus you pushing a personal interest and personal agendas. And that's what, like, the West is. It's a bunch of self-interest, selfish, I'm pushing my agenda, I'm getting what I want. And it just feels really unsafe. And it just doesn't feel like I can really deepen into myself.
Mm.
So I want to be in a field to where I can deepen into myself and, you know, that becoming one with God and, yeah, and the earth, you know, yeah, and socially. It's like that clip from Avatar when they're around the Awa tree. Like, for me, that's like the goal. Like, that's it.
Yeah, you know? That's it. Uh-huh. Plugged in.
That's, yeah, it's that or you know, or the, yeah,
more of the same, right?
Yeah.
And in that is the healing, you know? I think a lot of us carry our own and quite similar themes of trauma growing up in the West, you know? And there's immense healing in stepping into these things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And finding that connection that wasn't there. Not necessarily from a place of reaction to that trauma, but looking at it and recognizing, okay, here's what was out of balance. Let's see what it's like to live in a deeper resonance, something more along the lines of harmony, of equilibrium, of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And in that is tremendous healing.
And it's so challenging.
Yeah.
Hence why it's so rarely done, you know,
because yeah,
it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's because it brings it up.
Mm.
But without that container and layers of support and intention, yeah, that's why, yeah, it needs all these pieces.
Yeah.
Sorry, I come from a very, like, strategic point of view of, like, yeah, it needs these pieces in order, yeah, for it to be healing. Otherwise, it's just re-traumatizing.
Absolutely.
Which is what my experience has been. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real stuff. It's real stuff. Man, thank you for this. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. To be indigenous.